We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Joining me right now, a man who I'd say every once in a while I'm taking care of Jet, I'll pop him on TV. So I'll watch you in Tiki, and that is Brandon Tierney, as he does a fine job on the CBS Sports Network, on TV, on radio. Do you like being on TV, by the way?
I love it, man. Why wouldn't you? It's more money.
I mean, well, that's a good answer.
Who doesn't like being on TV?
Oh, I hate being on TV.
Well, that's true.
But you know what? What you do is different because you're doing a radio show on TV.
Yeah, but
I wouldn't mind.
Yeah, but I did all the SNY stuff, the Wheelhouse.
And you like that?
I love it. You know, it's funny. I've always wondered. What's up, by the way, Ev? How you doing, man?
You good? Nothing much. I'm great. How are you?
I always wondered. I remember I'd ask Joe this, like if I was playing golf with Joe. I'm like, how come Evan doesn't do stuff on SNY? He's a devout Met maniac. He knows baseball. He loves baseball. Get him on SNY. And Joe would always say, he doesn't like doing TV.
I don't like doing TV, and I shouldn't say this, but I'll say it anyway. Mm-hmm. That's like something Joe would say. I'm not going to say
what do you say?
This,
you don't like SNY?
No, I'm nervous about SNY. I don't want them telling me I can't rip the Wilpons.
Hold on. Ev, I'm going to tell you this right now.
Go ahead.
I was there. When did the Wheelhouse launch? I guess it was 06, and I think I did it for 5. I did it up until I went to San Francisco. You know my style. I mean, if I got something to say, it's going to be said. Not once. And I would just ravage ownership. I would ravage the roster.
And they never gave you problems?
Not
all right,
once.
That's fair. I mean,
they're so good with that.
That's why I wouldn't want to deal with it. I don't know if I would deal with it.
There's nothing to deal with.
But the truth is, it's never going to happen. I'm never going to do it. I'm not interested in that. The one TV I did that was fun was MLB Network.
Yeah.
I love baseball.
Yeah.
And you know it. When you do a local show, no one really cares about the St. Louis Cardinals.
I hear you.
I'm going to talk Mets-Yankees, which I love. Don't get me wrong. So the chance to talk national baseball was kind of fun.
That's got to be appealing to you. No, it's the same thing with football, like with the NFL. When, you know, and you just go through these transitions. I remember when I moved to San Francisco, I'm like, oh, geez, I got to pretend that I give a rat's behind about the 49ers and the Raiders. Two teams I used to make fun of my whole life, really, really more so the Raiders, especially as a Jets fan.
Oh, sure.
Think about how the Raiders, for that couple of years, we always met them.
Yeah.
Going back to the Heidi Bowl, which obviously was before us. But, you know, you learn, you adapt, you adjust, and it's similar now. Like, I'll go home and I'll watch the Yanks, and I mean, there's no reason to watch the Mets, and I'm not taking a dig.
No,
I don't mean
I
it that
with
way.
You.
But you know, for what I do every day, 3 hours national show with Teak, you know, I've it's more important that I check in on the Astros, or if it's April and the Raptors are playing whomever in the first round, you know, and it's a somewhat innocuous Mets game or even a Yankees game.
Right,
I'll pop in and see how they're doing, but you've got to do. And you've got to prepare for what you have to talk about. So I get it. I know what you're saying.
It's funny how we all like to do the things. It's like the athletes want to be the rock star, and the rock star wants to be the athlete.
Yep.
I love talking Mets, Yankees, Jets, Giants, but every once in a while you want to talk about something national, and you're the same way. You talk national, you love it, but every once in a while you want to destroy Fizdale, even though you're not destroying him yet.
I love Fizz.
No, I like him
love
too.
Love Fizz.
And I tried to talk Joe into this. I thought that was the guy to
Joe
hire.
Didn't like it? What do you want, Mark Jackson? Oh, he wanted Mark Jackson.
He wanted Mark Jackson.
I heard that, and I listen to you guys coming, and I'll bounce around.
It was a sentimental thing.
Yeah.
That's all.
And listen,
I get it.
I love Mark Jackson.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, going back to when he was dropping dimes with Ewing, doing the helicopter and parading around the garden at St. John's Day. It's on St. John's Days. But in evaluating who the Knicks were going to hire, not that we're going to do an hour on the Knicks, although you never know where you and I are going to go.
You never know.
So good. I really kept coming back to this. He did a real good job with Golden State. Indisputable. Laid the foundation. Developed a winning template. And really eradicated a real moribund losing culture.
Oh, sure.
He hasn't gotten a whisper since.
That worries you.
Of course it does.
Yeah.
So I'm saying, are the Knicks going to be the team that, out of sentiment, and also part of his resume for sure, they throw him a lifeline when nobody else has? Fizdale's a great culture guy.
He's a great hire.
I love the Fizdale hire. I really do.
I think it was a great hire. I remember before it started, That was the guy just trying to be fair, because I don't want the Knicks to be successful. I'll admit it. I'm mixed. I want you to be successful because I like basketball and I want to talk about the Knicks and not just complain about how awful they are. But I also hate you guys from a sports sense, so I don't want you having any kind of real success.
Mm-hmm.
With that said, being honest, Fizdale was the guy.
Yep.
The thing with Jackson is the Nets had about 87 different coaching openings over the years. I wanted Mark Jackson a few years earlier. And they didn't give him a sniff.
That's more understandable.
Yes.
That's more understandable.
Yes.
Fresh off the Warrior stint, you mean.
It was
Listen, there's no cobwebs. There's no, man, why is this guy still on ice?
Right.
Why is nobody hiring him? And then the whispers. And then, you know people in the league. You hear certain things. And
it sucks,
though. You deduce and you're like, this probably isn't the guy for the team.
It's just unfortunate. Enough time goes by where you say, hey, he hasn't gotten a sniff. Something's up. You hear room. All right, forget it. Let's not hire him.
Yeah.
But I think for where the Knicks were, this is the kind of guy they needed to hire.
I got a question for you, though, about the Knicks. There's something you just said. It's interesting. So your lifeline is what happens in the city professionally.
Yes.
It is your lifeline. So when you say you don't want the Knicks to be good, I know what you mean.
But you heard my mixed reaction to it.
I got you.
That's
got
why
you.
I'm mixed about
I hear you. But wouldn't you want the Knicks to be terrific, to at least increase your, not the viability of the show because it's been viable forever, but like just the excitement, the electricity, the palpability? I mean, okay.
I do, too. I'm mixed about it.
Because the Nets don't generate that. And
they
never
don't.
Will.
So
no, they never will.
Oh,
come on.
To the level of the Knicks, no.
Not even close.
Can they be a strong two potentially being in Brooklyn?
Yes, they could.
But what I would want then to make that okay with me is if the Knicks are viable, if they're a championship contender, let my little engine that could team also be good, and then I'll have fun.
Yeah,
because
I hear
that
you.
One year where the Knicks were clearly better, okay?
Yeah.
Where you won the 54 games, and I won the 49 games, or 40, whatever.
That's a fun season.
It was to it until I lost Game 7 in my own damn building. But the Knicks being successful wasn't as obnoxious as it would have been if the Nets were a complete non-factor.
Yeah.
But so you're right, because I love talking basketball, and you know what ends up happening. When the Knicks are awful, by January, no one wants to even talk about it.
I know. It's just complaining, and let's be honest, after a while, it's got to get old taking those calls.
Yeah, it's
the same stuff. Like, come on, I'm bored. I don't want to talk about these scrubs anymore.
That one year was fun.
Whether it's the Knicks or the Nets.
Right.
You know what I mean? Come on. They're going nowhere.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got to. And there's only so many ways that you could creatively package an enticing future. Like, I remember when Gallinari first came and doing local. Gallinari comes up and that crew, and obviously they were all dealt in the Carmelo trade when, Donnie Walsh's trade was sabotaged and obviously Dolan stepped in and destroyed it like usual. The energy with, like, that young Knick team was exciting.
Oh, people loved them.
Here we go. Okay, the foundation's here. We could grow with that. To me, that's maybe, this is going to sound ridiculous, because the coronation is a championship in any sport. But I've always enjoyed, as you put a few pieces in the foundation, and you go from moribund to mattering, to relevant, to interesting. That jump is almost as enjoyable as the jump from relevant to championship jump, because it's so invigorating to get out of the sports graveyard specific to whatever team you're talking about.
Oh, sure.
It's an amazing feeling, and I think that's going to happen with the Jets this year.
Yeah,
there's no doubt.
The formula
screw
for the
Knicks.
Jets.
Let's talk Jets. Yeah, let's go.
Seriously, forget the Knicks.
I don't know
because I don't want to even think about them being that big. The formula for the Jets is this.
Yeah.
All right?
Yep.
They're not winning the division this year. Let's not be idiots.
No.
Let's not be crazy. They're probably not even going to be in a playoff race. Maybe they'll be respectably good. Is that you see this defense take a jump where they actually earn their nickname that they gave themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They've like, given themselves nicknames. You see the quarterback
develop.
A little
early for that, by the way. Let's tap the brakes.
Yeah, seriously.
Let's get a pass rush, even though I got you. The nicknames on the third level.
That's
I got you.
That's part of the step, too.
Yeah.
You see signs this year, and then with the financial flexibility they have next year, you put the pieces together for 19 to be the year. And if you can see that growth and this coach who has a lot to prove can show he is the coach, which I'm very skeptical about.
God.
And I know you are because you were more skeptical before I became skeptical.
Told you that 2 years ago.
Yes.
I came in the same studio two years ago and said he's not the guy.
Well, guess what? I'm with you.
Sometimes
it
you
takes
were reluctant.
Time.
You were very reticent to jump on that. You were a little bit of a Bulls guy. You kind of like Todd Bowles.
You know what it was? And I try to be fair, and I'm trying to do the same thing with Mickey Callaway.
Yeah.
I don't want to bury a guy during their first year. I want to give them time to prove their suckitude, if you will.
Yeah.
And sometimes you're a special kind of awful. and you can make that turn quickly. John Idzik was a very special kind of
awful. So was McAdoo.
Ben McAdoo had a season that was so incredibly off. If I told you a year ago at this time Ben McAdoo's going to lose his job, you would have said, come on.
It would have been stunning.
Yeah.
It would have been stunning.
So I want to give Coach Bowles, I wanted to give Coach Bowles time. There needed to be more examples for me to say, hey, you know what? Guys like Brandon Tierney, he's right. He's not the guy.
Well,
and
listen,
I sit here today and I don't think he's the guy.
Yeah, but Ev, here's the thing. I mean, and obviously you do what we do for a living. You make statements. You make predictions. You obviously want to be proven right. Nobody in this business wants to be wrong all
depending.
The time.
I mean, it depends what you're trying to, what your point is.
Well,
you
want fair.
To be
that's
wrong about
that,
Bowles.
That's yeah, yeah, yes, that's fair.
If the Jets win the Super Bowl this year, you'll be thrilled. You'll love to be wrong about Bowles, right?
No doubt, no doubt. But if you're wrong too much, then nobody's going to believe
sure.
you.
Yeah,
it's basically, there's a scoreboard eventually
right.
that is attached to each one of our names, and it is what it is. But what I think is really unfair and unfounded, largely for a lot of people, is what you just said, your premise. I mean, to just bash somebody after a year is lazy radio, and it's lazy fandom. So I respected that you were, you know, you were kind of tapping the brakes on that. On that Todd Bowles, certainly not hate, but that Todd Bowles, what's the word I'm looking for? That Todd Bowles, that lack
skepticism,
of, well, certainly skept, that lack of zest, that lack of belief,
right.
that lack of appeal. And it was, and you also have to incorporate, hey, you know, Fizdale this year, back to him for a second. Knicks might win 32 games, 31 games, 29, whatever it is.
Right.
Depending upon when KP comes back, et cetera, Knox, right? But they're not going to be very, very good. But you can measure the progress in energy, in how they perform from October through April. Are they getting better? Are they getting worse? Do they play with integrity? And the thing, and I, this is why I know I'm not wrong, because I don't think he's going to radically change. The thing that really bothered me about Bowles, he's passive. When you've got to be aggressive, and I don't mean with his verbal skills.
No, I know what you mean.
Well, I'm talking about when it's fourth and one, and
yes.
you got to shove it down somebody's throat and get the extra yard and get a touchdown to win, or don't punt against the Steelers.
Oh, like, that was the killer.
I'm like, how the hell do I get behind this guy? I feel like I want to win more than Todd Bowles wants to win.
And ultimately,
and that's tough for a fan to accept.
I agree. And ultimately, look, Jacksonville had a great year last year. They did.
Yeah,
they got to the AFC title game.
Very good.
Their passiveness in that championship game is the main reason they didn't win the game.
They're up 10 of the fourth quarter.
Look,
you got to finish it.
They do. And they failed on many levels. But how about the end of the first half? You have to, I hate to quote Hurt, you have to play to win the game.
Uh-huh.
And so that passiveness, even if it doesn't ruin you in week 5 or week 9, you may make the playoffs anyway, it will ultimately kill you. And I thought that was a big part of why the Jaguars didn't win that AFC title
mm-hmm.
game, because of that passiveness. You're right about that with Todd Bowles. There was a preseason game the other night. Maybe it wasn't a Giant game the week before where they went for it on a 4th-and-1. And my whole joke is this would never happen during the regular season.
Talking about the Jet game.
The Jet game.
I thought the same thing. I'm like, what is this guy changing
Bowles?
Who he is?
No.
And I know it's not a foreshadow with this season.
No.
But hey, maybe we'll get lucky and maybe it is. It's going to be interesting to watch. I'm excited to watch the Jets.
Oh,
I am really excited. Listen, we all know that Darnold is not going to drown. The only thing that we need to uncover this year is, or at least get clues about, is he going to truly be great?
Yes.
Is he going to be special? Because we already know he's going to be functional. He's going to be solid. This young man is all about football. He's not involved in the nonsense. And I liked Sanchez. We all liked him the first couple of years. But, you know, posing with your shirt off and models. And I'm not saying don't reap the rewards of being an athlete and have fun. You're a single man in New York. You got money. Do what you got to do. But you can't have your quarterback get diverted en route to greatness because there's a model waiting for you at Marquee.
But you know what? Joe Namath did it. And he was and because they won, it doesn't matter. Now it's legend. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it is. It's embellished his position so differently.
Right.
Yeah.
That was also a million years ago.
Sure.
The media was very different.
The playbook was different.
Everything was
different.
You
didn't need to know
right.
900 variations of verbiage
true.
To look at the line of scrimmage and call the play.
Absolutely.
Joe could take a 5-step drop back and just throw a missile.
And once you won that championship, nothing mattered afterwards.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. What did Joe Namath do after that magical game, really? He had a very nice career,
not
but
much.
His career is defined by that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I do like the fact that it seems Sam Darnold is focused on football and everything you hear about him in the study room. They're all great signs. I mean, I'm ecstatic. And I remember a year ago, I wasn't a Tank fan. I wasn't a, hey, let's lose games. But I was.
I was.
No,
I was.
I know that.
I admit
Ernie
that. I
was. Too.
Yeah.
But I was, because when they got off to a better start than you expected.
Yeah.
And they're playing the Patriots.
Yeah.
What are you rooting for?
No, then I started changing.
Okay.
I mean, at that point, you just. it's self-sabotage. I mean, if you're having a better season than you thought, and just to be stubborn and remain married to your conviction going into the season, you're an idiot. But I mean, if you have a meaningful season in front of you, take it.
Take it. Enjoy it.
And I changed my tune during the year.
But here's the greatest part about it. So a year ago at this time, if I had you in studio and I said, hey, BT, Jets are going to suck this year, what are they sucking for? You
Sam Darnold.
What quarterback?
Sam Darnold.
Oh,
Sam
really?
Darnold.
And look what happened.
Coming off the Rose Bowl. Thanks to... Now, I like Baker Mayfield. Have you ever stood next to Baker Mayfield?
I've never stood next to him, but I know he's not exactly hulking,
you know,
to say the least.
It's funny. I have this on my Instagram somewhere. It's from a while ago because we had him after he won the Heisman.
Right.
He came to the top studio, and then Teek and I had him at Radio Row at the Super Bowl, right?
Okay.
And first of all, he's got really broad shoulders. He's got a thick, you know, lower torso. He's not spindly. He's strong. And, you know, I'm 6'2". He's a lot closer to me than people positioned him to be.
Okay.
So that the Browns took him isn't necessarily, although I wouldn't have done that if I'm the Browns, isn't as reckless or sloppy as some positioned. What the Giants did, and following this story for the next 10, 12, however many years Darnold and Saquon Barkley play in this town, is going to be nothing short of amazing.
Oh, it's fascinating.
It is amazing.
Because I think it's going to be very difficult. People are already trying to judge it. You can't judge it. We're not even going to be able to judge it at the end of this year, the end of next year, even the year after that. Because I think if Saquon Barkley is great, if he's all world, but the Giants win nothing, Sam Darnold becomes a franchise quarterback, and then the Giants can't find their franchise quarterback, then I think we'd admit that pick was a mistake.
Yeah.
Right?
And that was the thought that I really... And a lot of people disagreed with me. Teeky disagreed with me.
That he would have taken Saquon?
Yeah. That he wanted to take Saquon.
Okay.
I'm like, Teek, Eli's 37.
Yeah.
I mean, by the time you fix the offensive line, and Solder's obviously a great pickup, and they'll certainly be much better. It couldn't be worse. They'll be much better this year up front with the five guys. Ingram's ready. Shepard's ready. Beckham's a beast.
They can have a dynamic offense.
Shermer's a great hire. I love the hire for the Giants. And I think Eli's going to have, and a lot of people in this town know, I get on Eli for different reasons. I think he's overrated. I think he's improperly positioned. Even though I know he's going to be a Hall of Famer based on the two titles and the two Super Bowl MVPs, a lot of times with Eli, even my buddies who are Giant fans are like, dude, take it easy. You're driving me nuts because when people say, and it comes up all the time, you know, Eli Hall of Famer, the answer invariably is yes.
Sure.
But I've always taken, and maybe this is my bad, I've always taken it a little personally. Like, my football sensibilities, like you can't, and maybe this is because I do a lot of national work or I do exclusively national work. You can't tell me that over the last 12 or 13 years, whether it's the red zone, whether you gamble, whether you do fantasy, whether you live in a different city, whatever, however you consume football, you can't tell me that Eli Manning has been one of the five best quarterbacks, and that's being very liberal, by the way, or even seven on a weekly basis, more times than not in the NFL, because he has not been.
But you know what I would say to that?
He has not been.
You know what I'd say to that?
And once I established that, then I could get down with, of course he's a Hall of Famer.
Well, that's the thing.
I just have to establish that, though. It bothers me.
I don't think that statement is wrong at all. I don't. But he's still a Hall of Famer because there's something to be said, not only about the two Super Bowls, let's get that out there.
Oh, yeah.
But the consistency of being out there every single game. And last year, he was out there every single game until the McAdoo Geno Smith disaster.
Oh, jeez.
Since he took over in mid-04. Yeah, I know our guy. And that made it worse. I'm convinced of that. If they announced Eli's losing the job to Davis Webb, we give this kid a shot, I think it's a completely different situation.
It would have been a lot different,
but
yeah.
But I think the consistency of that matters.
Yes.
So, yeah, I remember after the second Super Bowl, I'll never forget this. We were taking calls. I think Joe wasn't here. It must have been a Saturday show. He went on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
And I took a few calls yelling at me that Eli has now proven he's better than Peyton.
Now, that's when you hang up on everybody and leave the studio.
Right. But today, hearing that statement, you're like, you got to be kidding me. And most Giant fans are like, come on. At that moment, after the height of winning another championship, and think about Peyton, I think that was a sentiment a lot of people felt because of the success he had just had. Obviously, he's not as good as Peyton.
He's
not even close.
He's not as good as Phillip Rivers.
From a regular season standpoint,
From a week-to-week production point of view.
You're right, but championships matter.
Oh, there's no doubt.
And that's the problem.
And I don't want to spin this anti-Eli because I think he's going to have his best season of all time. I really believe that.
All time?
I do. Mm. Listen,
he's got
a couple things he's never had. He's got... dump it to, you know, played with Tiki for a minute, but Tiki was gone after that, you know? Dump it to somebody in the flat. Barkley could just rip a linebacker's jock off and run by a safety, 60 yards, touchdown. You want to double Odell? And you're going to have to.
Right.
Here's Ingram over the seam. Yeah. Boom. Here's Shepard for a 37-yard gash. I mean, it's a totally different.
That only enhances his Hall of Fame resume, by the way.
Yes, yeah, it does. But it also, it will validate, if I'm wrong, some of my criticism, if I'm wrong about what I think he'll do this year,
right,
it's going to validate some of my criticisms for him throughout his career.
The only problem
if he doesn't have a great season this year, if he's healthy, then it's like, come on.
But the easy answer is he's 30. He's 37.
So is Drew Brees. So is Peyton Manning. So is Tom Brady.
But you know
all
what?
These guys are older.
Some guys don't age that way.
Well,
you know?
I think Eli looks pretty youthful.
Look, I think he's going to have a good year. I'm just giving you the answer on what any excuse would be. Hey, he's 37. But that would make the Saquon pick look bad because they have to
replace
Eli.
Then it's a contradiction to what you thought in your war room.
I would have drafted a quarterback.
Me too.
Okay?
Yeah.
Totally with you. And I think to validate it, they either have to win a championship, which validates everything.
Sure.
They win the Super Bowl this year. Who gives a damn about
anything? That's it. You got your third with Eli. Everybody shuts up.
I'll
shut up.
Yeah, and so would I.
Yeah.
Same thing. Everybody would. Or the quarterback of the future is Davis Webb.
I'm not saying it is. Davis Webb.
But if it is, or if it's Loletta, again, not saying it is.
I won't sell him short.
Well, we don't know yet.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, we don't know.
That's like we talk about a coach where you just destroy a coach and sentence him to failure. I want to see him play a little bit. But I've seen Davis. I saw
him
with Cal. I saw him with
Cal. So you're judging him based on college more than these preseason
games. Both. Okay. Both, but also the Cal system.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of, you know, Kyle Bowler played at Cal and I mean, obviously, Rodgers is the apex of that, you know, but it's going to be interesting.
And
they have to win now with Eli. Otherwise, it's a miscalculation and a bad draft choice.
They have to win
now. Even if Barkley's great.
Sure. Oh, I agree with you. If Barkley's great, they don't win, and they're in the wilderness looking for a quarterback, it was a failure.
Yeah.
And Darnold's great, obviously.
Well,
because what if Sam Darnold's a bust?
Ev, think about this. I mean, you know, you're a little bit younger than me, but think about all the failed quarterbacks. You know, we laugh at we don't laugh because it makes us cry, actually. Yeah, it's true. We think about the litany of Jet failures, right?
Think about
the litany of Giant quarterback failures before Eli.
Yeah.
Which is part of the reason why he's so, and rightfully
Dave
so.
Dave Brown.
Dave Brown from Duke was horrific. Sure. I mean, Kent Graham. I just left and right. You bring in Kurt Warner for a minute. You just never look, even though they pulled the plug on Kurt to play Eli, and it worked out to be the right move. But what I think is interesting, like I've had a lot of Giant fans get me on Twitter, and I respect this attitude, and I respect the fact that they get pissed off at me and they defend their guy when I, you know, take it in a little bit of a different direction with Eli in terms of reshaping the narrative. They're like, hey, if Darnold wins two championships, you'll be thrilled. There's no doubt, of course. If he wins one, I'll be thrilled. But let me ask you this. If Sam Darnold finishes his career, let's say nobody's as durable as Eli because he plays every Sunday,
that's a part of what
which is amazing.
Yeah.
But let's say that Sam Darnold plays for the New York Jets 12, 13, 14 years. Let's say he leads the league in picks a couple of years like Eli has. Let's say he's sub 60% completion percentage like currently Eli barely is. You know, and let's look at, you know, 5 or 6 straight years where you're not even relevant in terms of the champion. Now, I know it's not all his fault. But, yes, Darnold, wow, he brought you 2 championships. But the meat of his career would be a disappointment. That's what I point out. Eli's had a lot of bad years.
Sure.
And nobody can dispute that.
I think
unless you're a Giant fanboy.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is we'd have to see it and then you know it. So to define what I think or what you think about Sam Darnold, would he be a Hall of Famer? Would he be this if he wins that? I don't know. I got to watch him.
Yeah, true.
You know
no, that's very true.
I got to see because sometimes the numbers aren't the best, especially with quarterbacks, aren't the best indicator. Now, with Eli, I think that 2 championships, and this goes with anybody, when you can win 2 Super Bowls and have 2 runs that he had, it's going to overcome any negative that you can cite from the middle of one's career.
Well,
in totality,
of the ultimate honor being bestowed upon you as a Hall of Famer, no question. But there's always context within that, you know, 15-ish year run, and that's all I get into. I mean, you know, listen, here's the thing about Eli, and we all know this. I mean, you can't write the history of the NFL if you exclude any Super Bowl winning quarterback. But you really can't write the history of the NFL if you exclude Eli Manning, who beat Belichick and Brady twice.
Yeah.
So it's just a confounding, it's a tough career to properly identify step by step and have everybody in unison on what you come up with.
Sure.
There's a lot of twists and turns to Eli's career. That's all I'm pointing out.
Real quick, one more thing about the Jets. Do you want to start Sam Darnold right now? Are you fully in saying, hey, he's the rookie, he's the future, let's go? Or would you rather take it slow?
I wasn't there right away. I wasn't initially there. I wanted to see. By the way, we have our Topps preview tonight, right? And the only reason I say that is because there's something interesting. I was looking at this last night from from our stats team. Mm-hmm. The youngest quarterbacks to start a season in the Super Bowl era, all right? Drew Bledsoe. Not a Hall of Famer. Pretty damn good.
Good, sure.
Really good. Didn't ruin him. Stafford, I know he doesn't win a lot of big games. Pretty damn good. Great arm talent. DeShone Kizer, probably just drafted the wrong guy. Jameis Winston, a lot of talent, but he's got some off-the-field baggage. And Sam Darnold would be the youngest at 21 years and 96 days. And, you know, there's some guys that just aren't ready. They might look physically, like Josh Allen looks physically ready. He's got a rocket. He's 6'5". He almost throws like out of the pocket like Jeter would throw from, you know, the third base side of shortstop off one leg. He'd throw it across the diamond. Like he throws a football like a baseball.
Right.
And I watched him a few times at Wyoming because, you know, those late money games, you can win some money on them.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Right,
pretty
right.
easy, pretty favorable point spread. So you got to keep an eye on that. So I was enamored with him, but I entered training camp without a conviction either way. I want to see how it unfolds. I want to see how not only he looks, I want to see how Teddy looks. I don't need to see how McCown looks. We know how he is. He's functional. He's fine. He's a coach at this point and a mentor. I'm ready for him to start week one. I am. And I'll tell you this about the Jets offense. I'm a little worried about that offensive line. A little too porous for my liking. But you see he's very adept at feeling the pocket collapse, step up, get a little space, and extend the play. We've seen that this play. And I don't mean running for 18 yards, which he's also
done. We've seen that, too. A third and 14, he ran for a first down.
That was down third down. That was
beautiful.
Really nice. And
he
knew how to slide as well from his baseball background, which is important. But he's just, you know, fundamentally, and even ball security, like he was sloppy a little bit at USC.
Right.
You watch him when he leaves the pocket, two hands on the rock. You've seen that he's been coached up. So whatever was missing has kind of been, that gap has been narrowed. And, you know, between Anderson and between Curse.
Onunwa,
I love that Onunwa's back. He's like an Anquan Boldin light. The Jets offense could be okay.
They could be.
It really could be okay.
The only reason I lean, and I've accepted the reality, is Sam Darnold's going to start.
Yeah.
And I have no problem with that. I'm excited. I'm ecstatic Sam Darnold's a Jet.
Mm-hmm.
But Teddy Bridgewater's looked really good.
Yes.
Here in camp. He's looked really good. And it's not that I'm afraid of his age, because you cited, and I think that's a good list, of young quarterbacks starting. It doesn't necessarily ruin them. I'm not afraid they'd ruin them. I don't think that'll happen. It's this whole attitude of, what's the rush?
Mm-hmm.
You have a guy who's 25 years old, who was a Pro Bowler a few years ago, who maybe you start him, and maybe he's tremendous. And maybe...
But where does that lead you? He's a free agent next season.
It can lead you to two different places. It can lead you to trading him a few weeks into the year. Because that only enhances his value.
Sure.
What if a quarterback gets hurt?
That's true.
You never know who.
Yeah.
What if Dak Prescott gets hurt? I don't know. Maybe the Cowboys say, oh, boy, let's go trade. I don't know. There's many. Blake Bortles, Jackson. There's so many examples of it where all of a sudden, instead of getting a fourth-round pick, hey, maybe you got a team really hot and bothered to get a second-round pick.
Yeah, and it's triggered with it. Like, if he does this, it goes from a third to a second, it's layered and it's incentivized. Yeah. I mean, I thought about that. If Teddy had another year on his contract, then I might be fully behind that situation. But, again, if Darnold looked really wobbly or overwhelmed, then there's nothing to discuss.
Sure.
Then you might not ruin him, but, you know, set him back and retard his progress. He's ready.
He's looked good. Yeah.
He's ready. Oh, yeah. Listen, is it that different? How old were you when you got on the radio?
Are they going to compare me to Sam Darnold?
No, trust me. I'm definitely not going to do that. But how old were you? 21.
Yeah, 21 years old.
I can tell you this right now. When I was 21, even though I thought I knew a lot of stuff, I probably wasn't ready to be on the radio in New York City.
Right.
I was barely ready to be on the radio in Allentown when I was 24, 25. Like, everybody's curve, their maturation curve, and how they handle themselves, how they comport themselves
at
their job and away. I wasn't ready.
But it's not
you
him.
Were.
But it's not
Donald's
him.
Donald's ready.
You know what I mean? It's not.
He's ready.
I don't think he's ready. No, I think he is. I think it's more they are in a situation where their other option isn't a 39-year-old Josh McCown. It's a 25-year-old capable of being a Pro Bowl quarterback. Where does it lead if he starts 16 games? First of all, I don't think
it leads nowhere, because you're not going to extend him. You're not going to resign him.
Probably not.
No, there's no problem. Well, you're definitely not going to resign him.
You could franchise him and trade him. You still have the power over him.
Now, that may not lead to getting a big return. I don't know. I don't know the answer. And the truth is, if I start him right away, it's probably not to start 16 games. Because if the Jets are anywhere not at a playoff race, no matter what he's doing, I'm going to Sam Darnold eventually. But it doesn't hurt to wait. That's my point. It doesn't. There's no negative to it. With that said,
I don't know that I see the positive, though. I would agree with you that there's
positive,
no negative.
The positive is, A, the Bridgewater factor, but on the Darnold part of things,
yeah,
more time to learn, more time to collect information, more time to be even more ready for this job. That's all. It doesn't mean he isn't ready. It means, what would he look like 4 weeks from now?
Well, think about this, Ev. I know we do a little Yankees before we bounce. Think about this. I mean, Andujar, there's no way that we thought this game. First of all, it was supposed to be Drury playing third base and bouncing around. And, you know, if you told us and if you took calls in March, hey, Yankees, I mean, hey, this kid Andujar is going to be playing third base. Is this going to work out? Stonehands, is he ready to hit? He's going to win the Rookie of the Year. Unless Torres hits 330 in September and has like 8 or 9 bombs. It's Andujar's award. We know that. So, you know, I guess I've learned to stop being so definitive one way or the other with levels of readiness or preparedness.
Right.
I've kind of gone a little more fluid. Like, I've evaluated Darnold week to week to week. It wasn't like when he was drafted, he's got to start week one.
Sure.
Or first week of camp, got to start the first pre. Let me just see where we go with this. Let's see how it works out. And I'm going to trust my eyes. He's ready to play.
Oh, I think he is.
He's ready to play.
It's funny, when they first drafted him, my attitude was very different, which was, I don't even want to see him this year. I really want to take it slow.
You want to do a full redshirt?
Yeah. You know
really?
Why? But here's the thing, BT. We saw them twice. Certainly guys that I think Darnold will be better than both of them.
Yeah.
But we saw Mark Sanchez in a Fugazi quarterback competition.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't a real quarterback. With Kellen Clemens?
No.
That wasn't real.
No.
Number one. So he was basically handed the job. And I know from a team standpoint, they did have great success.
Great offensive line. Sure. Damian Woody, those guys.
Fatica,
running game.
Either.
No, true. I'll tell you what. One thing about Sanchez, he made some big throws in the playoffs.
When he had to, sure.
Do you remember the bomb that he threw in the wild card game when Laverty's Coles fumbled? When they were playing the Cincinnati Bengals, right? Rex's first year. He threw a bomb to Braylon Edwards that Braylon Edwards dropped. It's on YouTube. In the end zone. And he eventually connected with Edwards in Indianapolis with that little pump fake and that like 75-yard bomb, whatever it was. I mean, it's funny. Not to make this a revise or give detail on Sanchez's career. But I'm still surprised it worked out. Like, he had some flashes where he was pretty good.
I thought he would
be. He made some throws when it mattered.
Yeah. No, he absolutely didn't. I thought he'd end up being better than what he turned out to be. And when they let him go, I figured he'd catch on somewhere, get another opportunity, and at least be decent or adequate.
So did I.
What's he become? He's a third-string quarterback at best.
Now he's just chilling.
Yeah, he's hiding.
Now he's hurt.
Right, now he's hurt.
Now he's just chilling.
Yeah, I mean, good for him.
Yeah.
And the Geno Smith thing also was a weird competition.
Because
Mark got hurt in the Snoopy Bowl game.
Of course.
So I think a part of it is watching this franchise rush guys for various reasons into starting right away. So my initial reaction,
they're going to make the same mistake.
Yeah, don't play him.
Okay.
But watching him, you're right.
Yeah.
I've been impressed watching the guy. I think it's Teddy Bridgewater more than anything that you have a young guy who could net you back something really valuable. And so starting him for a few weeks doesn't seem like any kind of negative.
Mm-hmm.
So if the option was Sam Darnold versus Josh McCown, there'd be no discussion.
Mm-hmm.
You start Sam
Unless
Darnold.
You thought that Darnold was going to get his brains beat in,
right.
like Josh Allen's going to.
Yeah.
That's why you start Peterman or McCarron.
The other day, boy, Josh
Allen. That was bad. That offensive line's bad. There's no. I don't know if they ruled. I didn't see anything today. And there's no way that Josh Allen starts week one.
He'd be better
Book
not.
It. The Bills can't be that
dumb.
And
they're going to be awful, the Bills.
They're going to be bad.
This division is going to be bad.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think the Pats, listen, I think the Pats, everybody, the Pats are great. No, they're not.
They don't have to be.
No, they don't, but
doesn't matter.
But the difference this year, and this is what might really alter their path, and I'm kind of booking on this happening, because I'm down on the Pats this year. Look at who they lost. Edelman's going to miss four games. I mean, Hogan's good, but lost to Amendola.
Those four games mean nothing.
True, but you know what they do mean? It means a first round bye.
Potentially.
And then a home hosting in the divisional and the AFC championship game.
Potentially.
So the difference is, between Pittsburgh. I'm down on the Jaguars this year. Matter of fact,
I'm with you on that.
Okay.
I don't buy them.
No, I'm not buying them. I love the Texans
this
year.
If they're healthy, I'm on the Texans winning the division. Totally.
I even like the Titans maybe a little bit more than the Jaguars this year.
I don't know about that.
I do. But the point is there's a couple of teams, and then I don't like the Raiders, but I do like the Chiefs, and I do like the Chargers. there's a couple of teams that I think could win more games than the Pats this year. So the easy path, and I put quotes around the word easy because nothing's easy in the NFL, but the thought that the Pats, you know, because of the moribund AFC East, they win their requisite 12, 13 games, sit at home, the wild card. I don't know if that's the case this year. They might sit at home during the wild card, but the next week, they might have to go somewhere.
Yeah, I think a lot of it's going to depend on how good the Steelers, because I think that division is clearly going to be a lot better. The Ravens have a very good defense. I think the Bengals are actually going to be surprisingly good this year.
You know, it's funny. So I had to recalibrate my thought on the Bengals. I've been doing the same thing last couple of days. I thought it was Pittsburgh and Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see the Browns maybe going from one win to maybe six. I mean, yeah, I know you're shaking your head, but we'll find out. We'll see.
We'll see, yeah.
Who knows? I mean, that's a big jump.
Well, and also the coach looks like he looks awful. Every time, and I know Hard Knocks shouldn't do it or him meeting with the media shouldn't do it, but the way he handles every situation.
He contradicts himself every day.
All the time.
Yep.
If they had a capable head coach, I'd say, you know what, man, maybe the Browns could win 6-7.
I hear you.
I don't think he's capable.
But I think they have enough weapons on offense. And their defense is okay, too. Here's the thing about Hugh Jackson. You go back to the Hard Knocks, the first episode, where with Haley, right? That was a pretty poignant scene.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, him and Haley getting after it. You know that Haley aspires to be a head coach again. He's right. Probably looking at this guy saying, this schlump is 1-31. I'm going to kiss his ass. No, I'm going to tell him what I think needs to be done. And Hugh was kind of flexing, kind of throwing out the power a little bit. I sensed a little insecurity, to be frank, on the part of Hugh. And the gist of their disagreement was not running guys into the ground. The next week, out of punishment for having the weed in the car with Callaway, who's going to be a beast, by the way, if he keeps his head on straight, he makes him play the whole game. And then his starting quarterback, Tyrod Taylor, gets hurt, and he reinserts him back in the game. He contradicts himself every week.
Even those comments about, you know, keeping guys fresh, he says, yeah, it's really worked. How's it worked? You've won one game in the last 2 years. What are you talking about?
We all know the score. Dorsey didn't hire him. We'll see what happens.
No, I'm surprised they brought him back a year, but we'll see.
Me too.
All right, what do you think of this Yankee team right now?
Hey, listen, I'm thrilled. I mean, I listen to some of these clowns call up radio stations in New York, and I mean, everybody's whining and barking at the moon and complaining. What the hell are you complaining about? Sanchez has done nothing this year for the most part, or at least we can say he's regressed.
Oh,
certainly in the energy department, not healthy. We know Judge's situation. Who knows when he comes back? You got a rookie at third base. You got a rookie at second base. Greg Bird, who I've been a big supporter of.
Have you turned on him yet?
Not yet. He's been a complete zero. There's no way I'm getting on the local radio and defending Bird today. Mm-hmm. He's been a complete zero. I'd keep sitting him. But I haven't given up on him, to answer you directly. Didi's hurt. I mean, you've got a rotation with some glue and some spit that's been functional. Really, the fact that the Yankees are going to win 100 games this year, I think the reaction to their situation is not congruent with what they've actually achieved.
No, it's because the Red Sox have had such a stupid year.
Yeah.
And they finally have cooled off, but I don't think it's going to be enough. I don't think the Yankees can make up this
kind of
ground.
The Yankees would have won last night, and by the way, they should have. You're up 2-0. You got Tanaka on the hill. Find a way to beat the bad White Sox. Suddenly it goes from 6-5.5.
Here's the problem.
You play the Red Sox 6 more times.
You're right. And
I mean, at that point, you got to say you have a chance.
Oh, they still have a chance. I just think it's too difficult a road right now. Think about this. Since they got swept by the Red Sox, they've played 21 games. I don't care who they face, it's irrelevant. Mm-hmm. They play 21 games, they're 15-6. We'd all admit that's great.
Terrific.
They can't afford to ever lose. Last night should not be a situation where, oh my God, they can't lose. They just swept the Orioles of a 4-game series. You can't win every night, even against bad teams. And the White Sox, by the way, have played better, obviously,
they have.
As we know. So I just think they're in a position where they have to win 108 games to win the division. It's got to be a number like that.
They got to go Mets in 86. That's what the Mets won, right? 108?
Yeah. Well, look where the Red Sox are. Like, realistically, unless you think the Red Sox, they're just going to collapse. The Yankees
I want to see Chris Sale's shoulder.
Well, that's different.
I want to see Chris Sale's shoulder.
That's for October.
Well, if he's not here in September.
Starts are we talking about? 6 games?
Well, they're playing the Yankees 6 times. That could be 2 starts there.
You're right, but I'm saying overall that's still not going to impact to me.
They're not 11 back.
Enough.
They're 6 back.
That's a lot.
It's not that much.
It's not a lot, but again, anytime the Red Sox win and the Yankees lose, you just went back again.
Yeah, no, you have very little margin for error.
Last night was no margin for error.
I agree, and that's why I was really disappointed last night. And listen, the problem with baseball now, if it's like the NBA and you've got it like an elite, you know, whether it's the Warriors or the Rockets or whomever, Pelicans should be good. Celtics, pick any really good NBA team, right? Lakers maybe with LeBron, although I don't think they're going to be I don't think they're going to win a championship with LeBron. I've said that on the record. Yeah. I think that, like with basketball, you take an elite team, they're going to wax bad teams. You take baseball,
can't do that.
And it's a sport based on failure. It's a cyclical game. Even bad teams are going to find a way to win 55, 60 times. So
that's why it's
agreed. But I've changed my mind in this sense. There was a point where I'm like, hey, just find a way to get Severino right. You're going to win the wild card. You'll find a way to get past the A's and the other. We'll get in there. I need Severino to take that baseball in the wild card where he can strike out 11, 12 guys and throw, you know, three or four hits up on the board right. and walk two guys over the course of eight innings and 115 pitches. That was my main focus. I've actually kind of, now I'm like, ooh, now, Dad, do you push the gas and try to win the division? My answer has gone from no to yes.
Interesting.
You got to try to win the division.
I appreciate you coming in, man.
Hey, my pleasure, dude. I had a great time.
BT, watch him on the CBS Sports Network on TV as well.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.